Welcome to Hyperlocal, the podcast inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions with local solutions and global perspectives. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, and let's get into it. Joining me today is Emily Bailey, a dynamic AI and marketing trainer who's empowered over 4,000 professionals to work smarter, not harder. As a marketing and AI strategist at Compass Content Marketing, and as an excellent professor at Humber College and McMaster University, full disclosure, that is where she taught me, Emily helps businesses, economic developers, and non-for-profits across Canada harness AI and digital marketing tools to save time, boost creativity, and keep the human torch at the core. With clients such as United Way British Columbia, the Canadian Marketing Association, the County of Simcoe, and Destination Northern Ontario, her hands-on, customized training sessions on AI, social media strategy, and tools like ChatGPT are transforming how teams operate. In this episode, we dive into blending artificial intelligence and digital marketing, the role of AI in economic development and its potential for communities in the future, real-world success stories from organizations leveraging AI effectively, emerging digital trends shaping the future, and practical advice for international students to get involved in economic development. Let's get into it. Emily, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. And I'm not sure if you wanted to say a couple words before we got started.
Thank you so much for having me, Mason. Very happy to be here and connect with your audience to chat about economic development and marketing and artificial intelligence.
Yeah, thank you so much. And just a full disclosure for folks listening, Emily was an amazing professor when I took content management at McMaster University. So we got a bit of a relationship from the past, and just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to not only teach people and to encourage them to become better in their areas, but also for taking the time to meet with me today. So let's hop right into it. I always wonder where people come from, you know, whether it's, you know, watching a superhero movie or meeting somebody on the street. And we all have, you know, something that drives us towards where we are. So I'm curious, you know, you've trained thousands of people in, you know, AI and digital marketing, and you've done tons of other workshops and such in different areas. I'm just curious, what's inspired you to head down this path and to look into these fields, whether it's marketing or AI, or how those interconnect, and how has that got you to what you're up to today?
Great question. Well, I live for that light bulb moment when I can see people in my workshops, in the audience when I'm on stage, or in the classroom when I'm teaching, when it lands for them and they feel more empowered. And serving my community, serving folks across Ontario and beyond, and helping them feel more confident about the ever-changing world of digital marketing and artificial intelligence is really what keeps me going. When people say, thank you, this is super helpful, I feel now like I can grow my business. I feel now more focused, more clear on what I need to do. That's super rewarding for me, because we are living in an era where things are changing very, very quickly. And having been in the digital marketing industry for over 15 years myself, I've seen so much change during that time. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I come from a family growing up where my dad was an entrepreneur. And I know it's a big job to navigate those changes while running a business, or while, you know, simply fulfilling your job description if you happen to work for someone else. So I think where I really, really sort of enjoy what I do is, first off, the people, fantastic to work with. And second, you know, just helping them feel more confident and more able to navigate the changes that just never quit. With AI, we can see now the pace of change accelerating, getting faster and faster. Go on vacation for a week or two, you're probably going to miss a major update. That's a lot for a lot of people to keep up on. So I think where I come in is breaking down some of these complex concepts into plain language and filtering out the noise so people can kind of decide for themselves, okay, what do they need to know in order to achieve their goals in their marketing campaigns, in their business, or perhaps in their communities. So been a really wonderful journey. I've got to work with a lot of economic developers from across Ontario and beyond. And working with those folks is great too, because they're serving their communities. They're lifting up the small businesses. And of course, small businesses are the lifeblood of our economy here in Canada, and they deserve support.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful. And the idea of empowering people and making them feel more confident, I think, is such a special thing. And I know on a personal side, you've really helped empower me. I would say even with this podcast, I remember, going back, I think it was a couple of years ago now when I first broached the idea with you and said, like, hey, I kind of want to do this crazy idea. And you said, yeah, absolutely, go for it. And so I really appreciate the encouragement over the years. And you've definitely helped me feel a bit more confident. And I think the portion about filtering the noise, I think, is so crucial, especially now, as you mentioned, with things just constantly changing, with global events happening around the world, with politics, with tariffs, which we're hearing about all the time. It's difficult not to get swept up in things and miss a lot of, key information. So I think you taking that and distilling that for people in a way that they can understand. I remember my dad told me once, he says, it doesn't matter how smart you are if you cannot communicate with people and explain things in a simple way that they'll understand.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your kind words. And like I said, I feel privileged to have worked with so many wonderful people in my career. And I'm always pleased when people come back to me and say, thank you. That really helped us, or that really made us feel more secure in what we're doing. And I think that's so important.
100%. And speaking of working with folks, I know through your business, Compass Content Marketing, you've worked with tons of folks, in different Ontario organizations as well, like the County of Simcoe, where we call home, Huron County Economic Development, the Adaptation Council of Ontario, Toronto Public Library, Northern Ontario Travel and MasterCard, just to name a few. I was curious if you could share a bit about maybe one of these projects or another one, and how it's helped boost a local economy or a community, and what you think made that successful.
That's a great question. Well, there's so many examples from workshops to one-to-one mentorship. I do have a new partnership coming online with the DMZ. For folks who aren't familiar with that, that's the Digital Media Zone. It's headquartered in Toronto at TMU, formerly known as Ryerson. And through that program, I'll be providing one-to-one mentorship to founders and startups. And working with them on their digital marketing strategy, their use of artificial intelligence, which is becoming more and more important in businesses, and their social media. And what I like about this project is there's no one size fits all when it comes to these topics. Every business is different, every founder is different, every set of business or marketing goals is different. So I get to work with these founders on a one-to-one basis and coach them, guide them, and help them really fly in their business. So I've worked with DMZ Innisfil previously. They're a wonderful organization serving businesses across Simcoe County. Some are in tech, some are in other fields. And the feedback has been wonderful. They keep asking me back, so I guess I'm doing something right. And I think people appreciate the style that I offer, where I always say there are no silly questions. Please don't be shy about asking anything. You don't need to have a tech background to make artificial intelligence work for you. And we use plain language when we're working with people, because If there's too much jargon, there can be a lot of that in AI. There can be a lot of that in marketing. If someone doesn't come from a marketing or technical background, that can be a bit alienating. So we want to make a atmosphere where people feel comfortable. We sort of meet them where they're at and then sort of help guide them to the next level, whatever that may be for them. So some folks may be very new to AI, for example, and some people may be using it actively in their business. And the next step for them may be employing AI agents, for example. So everything is kind of scaled to the founder themselves. And I think that's super important because then you're not trying to paint everyone with the same brush. It's a one-to-one program, which I'm really excited about.
That's amazing. And congratulations on the new partnership. I'm sure you're going to do an incredible job with those folks. And like you've been doing with a ton of other areas. I know Laura with the DMZ in Ennisville, they're doing an incredible job. So it's great to hear that they're having you back for more and more and helping build the future, really. And I know you mentioned during your answer there a bit about AI and AI's role and AI agents and things. So we try to explore AI's role in growth through the podcast. And it's pretty obvious that I would say you're an expert in making AI accessible to people and explaining, how some of these things work and how you can apply them to your business or other areas. I'm just curious, how are businesses or communities that you've worked with so far using AI to drive their economic impact, whether that's job creation or maybe innovation in their business?
I think the biggest thing is productivity. A lot of economic developers, a lot of marketing professionals, a lot of community leaders, a lot of founders are quite busy. We have a lot of things that we need to get accomplished in a single day. Sometimes budgets are tight. And so what AI can do is it can help us do the wonderful work that humans are already doing, only a little bit faster and with a little bit more assistance. So just to back up for a minute, my perspective on AI is not that we should be using it to replace humans, but rather to complement and, accelerate the talent of our people. And so if you are, let's say, saving an hour a day in your work because you're now using AI, I think that's a win. And I don't think we should be depending on AI to do our work for us, but rather to help us, for example, get the word out on a new program that we're launching, or help us analyze some of the feedback and data we've received from previous program participants and see how we can do better next time. We could also use it to craft marketing materials. So it's a very common place where people will start in AI adoption within their organization. That could be using it for social media, coming up with ideas, writing scripts for YouTube videos, redoing some copy. The possibilities really are endless when we think about what AI can be used for. Marketing and admin and operations tend to be some of the more commonly used areas of AI within the economic development community, from what I'm seeing. But certainly, using it as an assistant and using it as sort of a co-pilot, so to speak, to help us in our goals and in our achieving of goals, I think is the biggest sort of promise that AI can give us right now in a realistic sense. I think a lot of tech leaders will talk about, AI taking over all these different types of jobs. That may or may not happen in the future, but I think as it stands now, what people are doing on the ground is using it to help them, stop them staring at a blank page, help them with perhaps the first draft of something, and then they can edit, they can make it their own, they can fact check it, make sure it aligns with their high standards of their organization, and move on with their day. So time is precious for everyone. And I know that myself as a working mom of two kids, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. If we can get AI to help us with some of that work, then to me, that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great way to explain it. And as you mentioned, the idea of complementing ourselves and accelerating some of that talent in people, I think is so important. It's not meant to be a replacement of folks. And I know when I was at the Economic Development Council of Ontario conference and competed in the Bright Ideas competition, our project that we presented was about AI, and it was amplified individuals and the future of economic development in the public sector. And that was our key crux there, which it's about amplifying individuals. This is not meant to replace people and to get them out of work, but it's to make them more efficient, more effective, so that they can spend, i.e., that extra hour a day that they're now saving on something that is a lot more productive for them and a lot more high impact in their sector, whether that's, doing more work at work, or whether, they have their own business and maybe they want to spend more time with their family. So now they can save a bit and do that because, as you mentioned, family is important and does take a bit of time as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting because this field is moving so quickly. The development of AI is moving so quickly. Mason, if we have this conversation a year from now, it may look different. It may sound different. AI is going to disrupt, a lot of different industries. I want to be upfront about that. But I do feel that the people who are willing to at least experiment and embrace AI really are feeling more confident because they're understanding the value that they bring in their role, and they're also learning how to make AI work for them. And that's really my sort of goal when I work with organizations doing training or I speak at events. We want to empower these people and get them set up for success. So no matter what comes next, a year from now, 5 years from now, they're ready and they're prepared and they're also sort of thinking in a new way. So mindset is a really big thing, especially if you're in the entrepreneur world. You'll probably see a lot of chatter online about mindset and this sort of thing. But I do think it's relevant where we talk about AI and change because people are being asked now to do their jobs in a way that perhaps they've never done them in the past. And that can be a challenge for some folks. That can be there is sometimes some resistance or hesitation. And certainly, AI is not perfect. There are ethical issues with that as well, safety challenges, privacy, copyright, all of those things, all of those challenges are happening. But at the same time, we can learn the technology, we can use the technology responsibly, of course, with guardrails in place within our organization. So we're not waiting too long and sort of risking being left behind.
Absolutely. Switching gears a little bit to a well, actually, I guess you could say it is related a bit because everything nowadays with technology is, but a bit of a global perspective. I know on your LinkedIn you've listed your Hootsuite global ambassador, and I know you built that into your content management program where we got to do and get our accreditation with Hootsuite, which I found extremely valuable to learn about that. And I know you've spoken at quite a few different events over the years, and so you've got an amazing perspective on things. I was just curious how you adapt some of these global digital marketing trends that you're seeing out there to create local solutions for some of these Ontario businesses or municipalities that you've been working with.
That's a great question. So when I'm advising a small business owner, when I'm working with a client, if it's a large organization, a small organization, the first question that I ask them is, who is your target audience here? Who are you trying to reach? And where are those folks spending their time online? And this answer reveals a lot to me because some folks are still on certain social media platforms because that's what was set up 5, 10 years ago when they initially started on social. And that's okay. But during that time, a lot of things have changed. TikTok is now quite popular. Instagram is more popular. YouTube is now the second most popular social media platform in Canada. Young people are not spending much time on Facebook. They may have a Facebook account, a Facebook profile, but they're not getting their information there. So we need to think very carefully and be selective about where we invest our time and our energy on our digital platforms. And the risk, if we don't do that, is we're simply wasting our time. We're simply wasting our efforts. Social media takes a long time to convert. It's not like you hop on there and make a sale right away. Typically, we need to nurture relationships using these platforms. Now, not a lot of folks are on X, which is formerly known as Twitter. We've seen a lot of engagement rates on that platform drop. A lot of folks have left that platform. So if I were advising a new business on where to invest their marketing budget or their time, X might not be the place. That might not be the right fit. There's now Threads, which is a meta platform. Might that be an alternative? Perhaps, but there's no one size fits all. So it really comes down to where is your audience spending time? That may be local businesses in your community. That may be partner organizations and the folks that work there. It may be customers or prospective customers, and you may have more than one target audience for a single organization. This is all coming down to the marketing strategy. Figuring out where is our time best spent, where is our effort best spent, and where are we going to, 6 months out, a year out, and more, get that return. Our time is precious, and we want to make sure that we're spending it where it's going to make the greatest possible impact.
For sure. I think that return on investment is crucial because, especially with time, like you cannot buy more time, unfortunately. I'm sure a lot of people wish we could. You mentioned quite a few things in there. I just wanted to touch on a couple of them. Being selective with your time and effort, I think, is crucial. And who is your audience? I know, full disclosure, before we started the podcast, Emily even asked me, who's your target audience for this podcast? So I know that you're actively asking that. I think that's something really important for folks to think about. And you mentioned, I'm just gonna skip ahead a little bit in my mind because you mentioned TikTok, and I saw something the other day on your TikTok, and you were talking about de-influencing. I was wondering if you could touch on that for people, explain a bit about what that is, and then also touch on, are you seeing an emerging digital marketing trend that you're excited about, and how could economic developers maybe leverage that type of thing to, attract business or talent or investment to their community or whatever they're working on in their particular role?
So the de-influencing trend that I referenced on TikTok was one where people were going on, typically people with a larger audience who would be classified as influencers or sometimes they're known as micro-influencers, and saying, don't buy this product or don't use this, and here is why. And I think it was a refreshing change for a lot of folks who were used to being sold to on social media. You log on to TikTok, you log on to Instagram, and it felt like there's always someone trying to say, oh, you got to get this and you need this, or showing off their new purchase or showing off their lifestyle that is aspirational, let's call it, for a lot of folks. And I think what made that particular trend catch on is this movement toward authenticity. So we're at a funny time in the digital world right now where most folks, I think, are aware of the fact that social media and cell phone, a smartphone use, AI chatbots, all of this stuff, it's not good for our mental health. It may not be good for our physical health either, but certainly not for our mental health. And there's been, credible headlines that have confirmed this for some time now. So I think generally there's more awareness out there among most people in Canada and beyond that, what's the place that you're spending your time online may not actually be all that good for you. And a lot of people on social media, I think, were showing a highlight reel and kind of showing off what they have and making some people feel not that good about what's right in front of them. This is the danger of social media, making people feel depressed, making people feel anxious, making people feel less than. Some detrimental effects. So I think the movement toward authenticity, I'm not saying we're fully there, but I think folks who can just be more sort of honest, and upfront, more sort of authentic, not sort of putting on airs, can definitely resonate with people. I tell clients, your customers want to see you. Don't worry if you don't look perfect on screen. Don't worry if you don't sound perfect, if you don't love the way your voice sounds, if you're self-conscious. Most people are self-conscious, with the exception of some of these influencers. Most people don't love being on video on social media, but people want to see you, and they want to see you speaking directly to them, addressing a pain point that they may be feeling. Maybe it's isolation or lack of support in their community, for example, and inviting them, join our next cohort, join our next program, come out to our workshop, come visit us at our office and learn more about how we can help you. And so I think the human to human piece is really important. Talking to people through digital media is kind of the way that sometimes we can reach people. I'm not saying it's always the best way, but for economic developers, I think, having more of a spotlight on the people behind the organization, the staff, even if there are volunteers, et cetera, summer students, and so on, showcasing and highlighting those with video in particular, short video, can really be a wonderful way to stand out online in what has become quite a crowded environment.
Absolutely. I think those are some good points, and just a couple things quick. I just want to say, if anybody listening is experiencing some mental health issues, feel free, reach out to somebody, talk to somebody about it. Don't be ashamed of that. It happens to everybody at some point in their life, and it's important that you get the right support that you need. And I think, just to be a little authentic myself for a second, which I really try to be all the time, I'm currently reading a book just working on myself, and it's called Atomic Habits. So, really interesting book. And there's one story in it that you made me think about when you were chatting there. And it was this idea that you mentioned when you said, you don't have to be perfect. And there was this researcher, and he had a class of, I think it was photography, and there was two groups of students, so he decided to separate them into two groups, and he told the one group of students, you have to do 100 photos by the end of the year, and you'll be marked accordingly on that. And then he said to the other half, he said, you have to do one photo, and your marks are going to be based on that. Which was interesting because you think, like, okay, you got to get this one perfect photo, like it's going to be really awesome. And this other group, they just had to take 100 photos. And at the end of the story, he explains that the group who did the 100 photos, compared to the person or the group that did the one photo, it was really different because you would think that that one photo would be perfect. But the reality is, the folks who did the 100 photos that didn't need to just have one that was perfect actually had better content at the end of the day. Because when they were at the beginning, they weren't worried about, oh, it has to be perfect. They just took photos and they took things that were interesting. They tried new things. They, took photos of different items. They did it with different lighting. They did all sorts of stuff. That trial and error perspective of, like, hey, it's okay to not be perfect. You just have to do the work. And the group who just did the one was not as good as the 100. And I just think that's an interesting tie-in there of that, don't worry about being perfect. And in there they said, perfect is the enemy of productivity, because a lot of people get hung up and they get stuck on, like, oh, well, every tiny little thing needs to be perfect. And if you worry about that, Whether it's in economic development or it's in life, you're just not going to get anything done. It's much better to do that trial and error and move forward for ourselves. So thank you for getting me to think of that, and hope that helps some folks who are listening.
Absolutely. And the same goes, I think, for learning AI. If you're not using AI yet, you should get started. And like you said, don't get too hung up on the how or the what. Just go and just start taking, some baby steps. You could sign up for a course or a workshop if you like, or simply, try experimenting, hop on to ChatGPT.com, for example, or something else, and just try it out. You can use a prompt that relates to, please make me a grocery list to create a certain recipe. Like, it doesn't have to be a work-related thing. It can literally be something that's just for fun, something very low risk, and just getting you going, getting more familiar with the tools and not overthinking which platform should I be on. That's a common question I get. Should I be on ChatGPT? Should I be on Copilot? Should I be on Google Gemini? They're all great options. Don't worry about which one. If your office is being directed to use one over the other, then please follow that directive. But if you don't have any instruction in that regard, just pick one and just start experimenting.
I think that's a great idea. Speaking of experimenting, and I know earlier you mentioned Metropolitan University, formerly Ryerson University. I was there years ago, and we went to the bar on campus called the Ram, and there was this amazing drink that we had. And my friend and I, we had talked about it for years. And the other day we were together, we were on a little trip down to Toronto, and it came up, and I said, "Oh, like, I remember that drink. It was called a Billy, but what was in it? Because there were so many different things." And so we went on and we used AI because we couldn't find it like on the internet or anything. And it ended up getting us all the ingredients for the drink. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. And that's an example where, like, yeah, it doesn't have to be work related. You can just play around with it and see what happens.
That's great.
Yeah. And speaking of training, so I know you've trained, over 4,000 professionals, including at the Canadian Marketing Association. I'm curious if there's any standout success stories there, where your training has helped a team or an organization, get, a specific kind of growth, and maybe you can highlight that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the feedback from my sessions is overwhelmingly positive, and most folks will report, first off, feeling more confident, which I think is the first step. But also, what's equally, if not more important, is being able to apply their learnings in a real world context and being able to see some tangible benefit from that. So, the ability for marketing professionals specifically to be able to supercharge what they're already doing, supercharge their campaigns, is tremendously valuable. It's a cost saving for sure. And it's also, I would argue, a time saving, which is great. So I know people that have said, if I didn't have artificial intelligence, I would be at work until 7 p.m. every night, and I wouldn't see my kids every evening, because they're little and they go to bed early. So that kind of stuff makes a big difference. But I think for teams overall, just being able to harness tools like Canva, for example. The other day I was training the staff at the Hamilton Jewish Society, and they were able to create more of their own marketing materials to get the word out to support their community rather than having to wait for a marketing budget to hire an external designer or an external content creator. They can do that stuff in-house and reach more children, reach more seniors, and educate people about the programs that they offer and get those people in the door so that they get the support that they need. So I'm lucky I get to work with people from all walks of life, all ages, all backgrounds. And I've done some work with Rama First Nations folks as well. And just that feeling of being, I think, in more control over the future and being able to scale their efforts is typically what people sort of report back to me about, which is awesome. And that's going to look a little bit different for each individual group and each individual professional that I've reached. But I'm always happy to answer folks' questions if there's something they're curious about, or they're saying, would this be a good fit for me? Speak up. There's never any silly questions. There's lots of programs out there. I offer one-to-one training. I offer group sessions and so on. But there's lots of other wonderful educators and thought leaders out there as well that people can tap into. The world is your oyster. You have the internet in front of you for free. There's no reason not to locate those resources. A lot of them are free. There's free courses, even. I have free content out there as well. So budget doesn't necessarily have to be an issue. The biggest thing is finding that information and translating it and really making it work for you.
Incredible. And I think you've really shown there that you're using, your experience with AI and marketing to help spark some of that economic growth and really make a big impact, especially with the one example you mentioned there, getting more folks in the door and getting groups who, don't have that budget out there and doing stuff that they want to do. And I would say to anybody listening, I highly encourage you, if you can attend any of Emily's workshops or follow her on LinkedIn or check out her socials, some really great content there and super interesting. And the nice thing that I like about it, to circle back a bit, is it's very authentic, and you can tell you take the time to really craft your messages, and it's not just like the usual, like, oh, hey, yeah, I had a great day at this thing. It's like you actually get in there and you explain some stuff and you give people something to think about, and I think that's really powerful. And I know that I've learned a lot from that, and definitely encourage you to keep doing that, and for anyone else to check you out. And I will make sure to put some links in the podcast itself, but also in the social content that goes out, so people can check you out.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Mason. And one other thing I wanted to mention, if people are interested in learning more about digital marketing, about AI and entrepreneurship and economic development, I have a free weekly newsletter where I send out tips. I also send out workshop listings. So if folks want to join that, we'll include the link in the show notes. And just having that little reminder or those little tips delivered to your inbox, people find that very convenient because they can look at it when they have a moment. My newsletters are written in plain language, so they're easy to understand for folks from any walk of life. And I get really positive feedback on the content there as well.
It is great, and honestly, that's one of the reasons why I reached out, because I read one of them and I was like, oh, this is such a cool thing. Let's chat a bit about this. So they're definitely impactful for sure. Speaking of impact, I know we've talked about a lot of positive things. I'm curious, when it comes to challenges and opportunities, what's a significant challenge that you've faced or others have faced in regards to the organizations and how they're maybe trying to adopt some of this AI or digital tools? And how do you see them overcoming some of these things and then utilizing some of your training to support them, whether it's in their economic development journey or in their business?
We're at the very early stages of what some people are calling an AI revolution. I know that's a big word, but hear me out. Teams are now taking AI off the sidelines and onto the playing field. So folks need to understand in their workplaces how they should be using AI and how they should not be using AI. And sometimes people don't know, because there's no clear direction, there's no clear support system, and they may not feel comfortable asking questions. The other challenge can be, a little bit of uncertainty around, if we start using AI, is that going to replace me? And sometimes people aren't saying that out loud, but they're wondering and perhaps even secretly hoping that the AI implementation doesn't go as planned. So this is a challenge not unique to economic developers. This is a challenge, that's happening across many, many workplaces. But people need support. And I think that having a training available, or perhaps a budget where people could sign up for a workshop or a course, or perhaps an event that gives them the opportunity to learn about AI and some clarity around what they should and should not be using it for, can go a long way toward easing people's fears, building up their confidence, and helping them develop also as professionals. You know, whether they stay in your organization for the rest of their career or they end up moving on to a different organization, they are going to need those skills. And the leaders that I'm working with are willing to invest in their people. They're willing to carve out time and space for their staff to ask questions, to experiment with support, and to encourage them to build in the time and space to continue to learn as time goes on. And this is a new challenge. You know, we're in a kind of a time-starved society, one might say. And so finding the time to be constantly learning new things and constantly navigating change is a lot to ask for some people. So I think that's why it's important for leaders, managers, and so on, executive directors, to make sure that the teams are feeling confident, and maybe even putting into place an AI policy so that people are clear on what they're allowed to use AI for and what they're not allowed to use AI for. Here's the thing: even if AI is blocked on some computers, which in some organizations it is, people are going to use it on their phone. So we need, as a culture, we need as a workplace, as an economy, to educate our people and help prepare them for the next wave, and also give them the understanding that they don't have to have all of the answers. It's okay to ask questions and to build that culture of collaboration and shared learning within our teams. So I think, you know, it can't be overstated how important that is. Some teams are already, you know, feeling good. They're already feeling confident. There's other people that are feeling a little bit lost. And those are the folks that we need to make sure they have some support. They may need some extra help, or they may just need an hour to attend a workshop in their community and get up to speed.
Beautiful. I think that's great. And you know, a couple of things you mentioned there that I just want to highlight for folks to make sure that they did hear you. Invest in your people. You know, expand your knowledge and call Emily so she can do a workshop in your community. No, I in all seriousness, I think that's a great message to give folks, as they do need to spend the time to carve out that time to say, hey, you know, here's an opportunity for you to try this out, to have that trial and error to continue to work on some of these things, because as you mentioned, like, we don't have all the answers. Nobody does, and it's okay. And but if you don't carve out that time and you don't invest in your people, I think folks are just setting themselves up for failure in the future.
Yeah, and it's not as scary, I think, as some people fear it might be. Like when I get folks in a room and we work on an activity together, I see that light bulb moment that I mentioned at the beginning of our episode today. That light bulb moment where people see what the AI technology can do for them, and then they go, wow, this is great. And it's just kind of bridging that gap between, you know, thinking about it and fearing it and actually getting started. And people tend, I find in my experience, to walk away going, okay, I'm ready now. I'm ready to keep going, and I'm ready to learn more, and I'm ready to kind of put this into practice in whatever way, shape, or form makes sense for my role or my particular business. So I think just getting people over that hump, let's call it, and getting them, you know, if they're already using AI, getting them to that next level where they can start using the technology as a co-pilot, work in collaboration with the AI, not over dependent on it, but rather using it to help them in their work and directing the AI to work for them.
Awesome. I could not have said that better myself. So I just want to say, Emily, thank you so much for your time. I've got one more question for you. It's a bit of a mystery question. So essentially,
Okay.
through the podcast, what we do is we ask folks, and please Afterwards, we'll probably have a couple minutes where we'll chat. So if you have a question for the next person, feel free to let me know, or if you want to work on that and send it to me, that's okay as well. But the mystery question for you today, you were an international student, new to Ontario, and you want to get your name out there, whether it's in the field of economic development or another field. What are the top three things that you would recommend for the student to do and why?
Oh, I like this question. It's a good one because when you land in a new country, you don't have typically a lot of connections. So, first things first, I would start attending in-person events where possible. I think that face-to-face connection is so important. It cannot be replaced by AI. It cannot be fully replaced by social media, et cetera, et cetera. So find your local economic development corporation, whatever that may be in your community. Find an event, find a workshop. Typically, they all offer workshops a few times a year at least. Go to a workshop. The costs are usually pretty affordable. That can be money well spent. You'll learn something new and you'll typically have a bit of time for networking. Introduce yourself. Try to gauge if there may be some opportunities to volunteer. Let's say if there's a community event coming up, maybe there's an opportunity to get involved with that. The third thing I would say is work on your personal branding. So make sure your LinkedIn profile is fully filled out and you want to highlight your skills, have a professional picture of yourself, and you want to start posting content maybe once or twice a week on your LinkedIn profile that shows your interest and your perspective on economic development. So that may be something happening in the news that you want to share a link to and add your comments. Follow all of the relevant economic development organizations and learn as much as you can. Social media makes following pretty easy because you can just get your news when you have a moment to log on and check it out. And then where there's relevant opportunities or relevant sort of media pieces, you can comment on those. You can engage with other people in that online space as your time permits. So there's really no excuse not to get started if your goal is to sort of break into economic development, into the industry. Start building those connections. You can follow some key people, economic development leaders in your community and beyond, and observe them, learn from them. And like I said, try to get into those in-person events as much as is possible.
That was a fantastic answer. Thank you so much. And I'm sure a lot of people will get a ton from that. I just wanted to add in one little bonus one. Subscribe to an economic development podcast. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But yeah, no, I think those are bang on. I can, I know we met in person finally at an in-person event. And I think those opportunities to, shake somebody's hand and to talk to them are, you cannot just, under explain, I guess, how important that is. It is just super important to actually see somebody face to face and have those connections, see those facial expressions, and have that kind of, how would I put it, less official conversations, if that makes sense. Because it's one thing when you show up to an office and you go for a meeting and you meet with somebody compared to you run into them at an event and you're having a coffee and you get to chat. So I think that is a phenomenal and really good answers. I'm super impressed because neither of us knew that question that you hopped onto that answer so quickly. So thank you so much, Emily, for your time today. Really appreciate it. And please keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a phenomenal job and you're really, I would say, making the world a better place.
Thank you so much, Mason. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. When I'm out and about, whether I'm, biking or walking or driving, I love listening to podcasts. So it really is special to me that you took the time to tune into Hyperlocal today and listen to our podcast. I want to make sure we're able to give you the best content possible in the future, get the speakers you want, talk about the topics you want, and really make a difference in your community. We want to focus on those little things. And a big thing to help us do that would be if you could take this opportunity to make sure that you're following the channel. If you want, feel free to turn on the notifications and we can make sure you get notified on the next episode. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for caring about economic development and caring about your community. And keep up the good work. You're not alone out there.